Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back. It's another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We are now into April.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I can.
Well, normally we're getting ready for the draft here at the end of the month, but not this year.
No, it's still over a month away.
Yeah.
May 8th, through the 10th.
Yes.
So
we got a long way to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Hard to believe. You know, normally we're coming down the home stretch and we're like sprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
You and
this
are in
this
shape.
Is that time when everyone's risen and fallen and you have a decent idea maybe who might, you know, at least your team might be considering, but pro days are still going on.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney's was yesterday.
Yep.
Pretty insane.
In my medical opinion.
Okay.
Because I'm an expert.
Right.
The guy's a freak.
Yes.
He's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Something else. Something else to watch.
Yeah.
So he's certainly a guy to keep an eye on, I would say. I would guess. You know what was funny is, like, I saw on Twitter one of our former coworkers here, Matt Lang, who is now over at the University of Alabama, tweeted about how there should be, like, tops, maybe like 20 scouts over at the Jadeveon Clowney pro day, and there was really quite a contingent. And I thought, I'm like, you know, really, you just need one guy there to, like, watch him and just be like, you know what, he's pretty good. Like, do we really need to get into, like, all this? Like,
no, that's true. That's true. I mean, I would imagine virtually all the teams were there, you know, representatives from every team. And it's like some of these guys, there's no hope for you.
No.
Unless there's, you know, trades or whatever. Yeah. So I guess there's that reason. But
really, I mean, chances of you trading from 32 up to, you know, one or two to get him are kind of small unless you're going to mortgage your entire future on this one guy. But Mike Mayock kept calling him the best defensive lineman on the planet. He says, he looked Jadeveon Clowney in the eye and said, when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be the best defensive lineman in the entire country. Or in the entire planet, I'm sorry. On the entire planet.
Planet.
And you know what? I believe Mike Mayock because he scouted everybody from here to Bombay.
Absolutely. Everyone on the planet.
Obviously. Yeah, everybody on the planet. He's got scouting profiles on you and me.
Yeah.
Which is scary to think about.
Yeah, they're buried deep underneath lots of other ones.
So speaking of Jadeveon Clowney, I want to go back to a week ago.
Okay.
When you and I, we did our mock draft 2.0 with the FanSpeak mock draft simulator.
Yes.
And we were presented with a very interesting scenario in the first round.
It created a little bit of controversy.
A little bit of a controversy. I found, though, that it didn't. There were some people that were pretty passionate that we kind of made the wrong decision there. And there were some other people who were like, you know what, I agree with what you said. It's tough to pass on those other guys, but it was the pick that you kind of make. You roll the dice.
Yeah.
So what we did is, for those of you who maybe weren't watching last week, we did the simulator.
Yes.
I want to say modulator. Why do I want to say that?
Because you're thinking mock draft and
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah.
So, anyways, we're doing this simulator. We get to number 6.
All right.
We're presented with Jadeveon Clowney.
The unthinkable.
Yeah. Khalil Mack and Greg Robinson all on the board. Yeah. Just there prime for the picking.
Yeah.
And we went back to an argument that I made a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about taking an offensive tackle at that spot because you don't really know what's going to be there in the second round. And so we ultimately made the decision to go with Greg Robinson. Mm-hmm. That was our choice. So we passed on Jadeveon Clowney. We passed on Khalil Mack. And here we are. And I bring this story up because it's a good case study in just how much things change in a very short period of time. Because if we did that today, after watching Jadeveon Clowney at his pro day, there is no way that I'm passing on that kid.
Okay.
No way. I don't care who's available in the second round.
Let him play both sides of the field.
Yeah.
Both sides.
And I don't think there's any way I would pass on Khalil Mack.
That's interesting.
And this is what I love about the draft, honestly, because you get pulled in so many different directions. And I know a lot of fans out there who follow us on Twitter have had their guy from day one, and they've stuck with him all along. And honestly, like, I commend you for that because I keep changing my mind on these guys.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I still think, look, you're at number six, you're going to get a good pick.
Exactly.
You know, I think if you end up with Clowney, Mack, Matthews, or Robinson, even Barr,
mm-hmm.
one of those five guys, you've got a great prospect.
Absolutely.
You've got a great football player. So there's not a lot to be upset about.
Yeah.
But I keep going back and forth on some of these guys. And it's funny because I had a lot of people that came up to me after I made the argument about taking Jake Matthews
mm-hmm.
At number six in our bracket.
Right.
And they said, you know what? I was totally sold on Mack and I was totally sold on Clowney until I heard your argument. Mm-hmm. And now I completely agree. We need to go offensive tackle if it's Mack or Robinson or whatever
yeah. it is.
Now, I'm like, that argument doesn't even exist to me right now.
Okay.
It's just a case study again in how things change. And
absolutely.
We look at the mock drafts every week and see what all the experts are saying. And they change
once. It changes all the time.
And but wait till now the pro day, right? Jadeveon Clowney had his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see so many different things change over the night because now it's going to be, oh, Houston's definitely going to take him
yeah.
or
yeah, that was
Jacksonville or totally. St. Louis.
Yeah, the know. Buzz immediately on Twitter as Pro Day is occurring and, you know, as it's winding down is Clowney's number one.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I mean.
What's going to be said. And so I just wanted to bring that up because I really mm-hmm. feel like things change so much. And last week, when I sat in this very seat and we were presented with that option uh-huh. of those three outstanding players, I thought we made the right choice.
I thought so, too.
I don't think we made a bad choice.
Yeah.
I just think, man, yeah. like Mack and especially Clowney are just – and Robinson to some extent is – I think a lot of people would say he's a once-in-a-lifetime player.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, again, I don't envy – the people who have to make these decisions.
And ultimately, really but that's it's a win-win no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, how many fans can honestly say if they have, you know, the choice that we had last week on draft night in the first round at number six, Clowney, it was like Clowney and Robinson. Crazy things happen with the quarterbacks to go, you know, sure. in the beginning. Clowney and Robinson. Okay, there were fans that would be, oh, man, he'll bang the table for Clowney, but are you really disappointed that you know, you're getting Robinson instead?
I was thinking about this earlier, honestly, because I really feel like this is the situation that you're in this year, is especially when you're picking so high,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have a split contingent one way or another, because you got plenty of people who are Team Clowney.
Yeah.
Plenty of people who are Team Mac, plenty of people who think you go the safe route and go with an offensive tackle, whoever that may be. And whoever you end up with, you're going to end up – two groups are ultimately going to be upset or not
mm-hmm.
satisfied because their guy didn't get picked or he wasn't there or
yeah.
you know, whatever the case may be. Because there's a strong contingent that feels you shouldn't trade up. Like if you want to go get Jadeveon Clowney, you don't trade up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You see if he falls to you. I don't think there's any possibility of that happening.
Not now.
But there's a very strong contingent of people who don't want to trade up. And then there's a very strong contingent of people who do want to trade up.
Yeah.
So either way, you end up in a situation where all of us are just kind of – nobody has the answers. Nobody,
no.
You know, I think the key thing to take out to your point is that you end up with a pretty darn good player regardless.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know? So – I've got some players, actually.
Okay.
I got about nine of them.
Okay. It's funny. Okay. I was about to say you can make a case for either one.
We can make a case for it. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little brand new game.
Okay.
It's called Make the Case.
Okay.
All right. So I got nine names.
Okay.
Written down on these pieces of paper here. I'm going to put them in this here helmet.
Yes.
We're each going to draw one. And we have to make the case as to why the Falcons should draft him.
All right.
You cannot make the case that they should not draft him.
Exactly.
So whoever you get, you have to say this is the reason why the Falcons should draft him.
Okay.
Understood? We're yes. all good on the rules here?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Should be fun. We're going to draw three names each.
All right.
All right. We're going to put these here. Shake it up here. What do you want? Do you want to pick your three first?
Let's
Or do you want to go one at a time?
Well, we can pick three all at once. Yeah.
Okay, pick your three.
Go through the face mask.
Don't open them up.
Okay, I got one, two, and my third.
All right.
I love these crumbled up pieces of paper.
Wait till you see how much I spent on production. Wait until you see. All right, so there are three in here that will not get named at all.
Okay.
We don't know who they are.
All right.
Okay, so you got your three.
Uh-huh.
I got my three. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay, you'll go first.
All right.
Make sure to show the camera who you got. And let's take, like, maybe 30 seconds. We won't time it, sure. But let's take 30 seconds on why you think the Falcons should draft
Eric Ebron.
Okay, see? Yeah,
former Falcon Algie Crumper is going to love this pick.
See? There you go.
Already. And, hey, you can't argue with a UNC guy.
That's
so,
right.
So there's two pluses. Here's the deal. And you and I had this conversation a while back about replacing Tony Gonzalez's production. Okay, you got return of Julio, you got Roddy. Harry Douglas stepped up huge last year. But there's so much that Tony did, you know, in a short passing game and in the red zone. And so many subtle things that Tony Gonzalez did for this offense. And someone's got to fill that role. And maybe it's an extra running back or an extra, you know, maybe Drew Davis steps up a little bit. Or you can just draft the best tight end in the draft and get this athletic playmaker, maybe a guy that can do additional things that Tony Gonzalez could do. You get those, you know, he's getting those snaps, he's getting those catches while you're still getting Julio all the balls that he needs and Roddy, and Harry's doing his thing, and Eric Ebron can step in and do what Tony did, you know, to an extent, obviously. It's a different type of player, obviously, but and maybe then some, and just get more vertical in the passing game on offense, and you don't miss a beat with Eric Ebron.
He's really one of the underrated players in this draft.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because the past couple of years, all we've talked about in the first round, it seems, is tight end.
Two years ago,
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, that was the guy going
last
to the
year. It was Zach Ertz, and who was the other one? Stanford kid, right? Was it Fleener?
Fleener was the year before. Yeah. Ertz.
So maybe
Ertz is from Stanford and it was someone else.
Kyle Rudolph was maybe even the year before that. I mean, so we've been talking about it for a long time.
Absolutely.
About taking a tight end. This is truly one of the guys who is underrated in this year's draft. Yeah. And he can do all the things that Tony – like, you made a great point. If you want to replace Tony Gonzalez, that's the guy to do it.
Yeah.
That's your replacement for Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah. And he's got speed. I mean, he's a guy, like I said, you know, going vertical – I feel strange saying this, that maybe he could do more than Tony could do, because that's the great claim. But
it's a big claim.
But he has some skill set that Tony didn't necessarily have at the point that he had joined the Falcons. So
yep.
It'd be an interesting pick. That's
I agree.
For sure.
I like it. I like this game so far too. Let's roll with mine here. We'll take this one, and let's see who we've got. Oh. We have Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle out of Michigan.
Okay.
Why should the Falcons take him? You want to talk about the words tough, gritty, rugged, words that we've heard thrown around all offseason so far. And when it comes to the offensive and defensive lines, you've kind of addressed that a bit in free agency on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, if you want to address tough, rugged, gritty, you do that with a guy like Taylor Lewan. This is a guy who plays to the edge of the whistle. I know you spoke to him up at the combine, and he talked a little bit about that toughness, and maybe you can elaborate after I'm done. But he will punch you in the mouth. I mean, this is the kind of guy he is. And he's a great player. Off the field, I hear a great guy, but just – in between that 60 minutes that you're out on the field, this is a guy that you don't want to face. And he wants to be that guy that teams just hate going up against.
Yeah.
And you got to like that in any prospect who's coming in and looking to make a name for himself in the NFL. I think he's a great, great tackle prospect.
Absolutely. He said at the combine he felt that sometimes that could be also perceived as his weakness, you know, pushing, toeing that line, just wanting to make his opponent's day really, really bad.
But in talking to Falcons fans, you know, that's what they want to see out of guys, you know.
Absolutely.
And honestly, like, you take a 5-yard, 10-yard, 15-yard penalty at times.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I know Coach Smith.
Sure, Coach Smith wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But
we've talked about that before. Malachi Goodman got a late hit in the season on a quarterback, and I'm like, okay, take that. You know?
We're all right with that one.
I hate the penalty, but it's all right.
All right, who's your next one?
Let's see.
Who we got? Uh-oh. Man, I put so much work into those.
Oh, yeah. Almost. Jake Matthews.
Jake Matthews, okay.
Okay, this is an easy one. If you're looking for a guy that can step in and start from day one, solidify right tackle or move over to the left if that's a long-range plan, Jake Matthews is the guy, you know, as far as being well-rounded, as far as pass protector, run blocker, he's adept or high, you know, maybe even above average or elite, perhaps at either role. You know, Mike Mayock says Jake Matthews would have been the number one pick overall last season. He's comes from a long line of football players, NFL football players, even Hall of Famers. Jake Matthews is probably, and I've read this numerous times, probably the safest pick in the draft. And that's, you know, as far as like getting value in your draft pick, why not go safe and take the guy that you know is, could be your starter for 10 years and protect number two? And we know that conversation.
And that's a great point. And I love that post that you had recently about Matthews being the safest. Mm-hmm. Somebody, who was it? This, it was at NFL.com?
Yeah, Bucky Brooks, I believe.
Bucky Brooks, okay.
Charles Davis, maybe.
Yeah. So, you know, they say this guy is your safest pick in the entire NFL draft, and that's saying a lot when you say, well, what about Clowney? What about Mack? We're talking about some potential here. Yeah. Potential means that we haven't gotten there yet, mm-hmm. okay? Matthews, I think we've explained a couple of times on this show, is there.
Yeah.
You know, by most accounts that we see, he's right where you want him to be in order to be a perennial all-pro.
He's got that polish.
Tackle. Yeah, he has, and he's got the pedigree. He's got it in his family. You know, he knows what it's like to grow up in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of the intangibles that you want. He's got a lot of the tangibles that you want. And he's a great pick. And honestly, it's amazing how overshadowed he's even been by some of these guys. So, you know, again, when we're talking about a guy like Clowney or Mack or Robinson, we're talking about potential. Mm-hmm. That makes them less safe.
Yeah.
You know, because we haven't gotten there yet. It's going to take some things, some coaching, some time, mm-hmm. all those things to get to that point. But Matthew's a great pick.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see who I get here.
All right.
Oh, Mr. Jadavian Clowney.
Your favorite, Jay.
Look, why do you take this guy?
BFFs.
I would love to be BFFs with him. I would. Why do you take this guy? He's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
He's unlike anything that I've seen. You know, you look at just the athleticism that he has for his position at defensive end, the speed that he has, how he can get around the corner, his versatility. He's able to be really quick on his feet, makes very good cuts. He's not. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to be fooled by a running back's moves very often in the run game and in the pass game. I mean, there are not going to be many tackles that are going to be able to compete with his speed off the edge and his hand power and just everything that he brings to the game. I know I'm listing down like all the buzzwords when it comes mm-hmm. to like scouting, but he really does have it all.
Yeah.
And to me, this guy's a no-brainer. If he's there or if you want him, go get him, because mm-hmm. this is a pretty special player here.
Yeah, it's going to be number one and number two. That's where you're going to be. You got to be to get him. It's funny. I was listening to a national talk radio show, and they had someone on talking about Clowney, and just by accident, I think this is kind of where he made the comparison in his mind, probably, like even when you misspoke earlier, kind of thinking, you know how we do that sometimes?
Yes.
He was talking about Jadavian Clowney, and he substituted Julius Peppers. And
oh, really?
I'm like, that's a perfect comparison, because when Peppers came out, he was that guy, that athletic freak, that freak of nature, once a decade kind of player. And Peppers is, you know, as he's gotten older and some of his later years here with in Chicago, maybe not quite the impact he once had, but, you know, when he came in, he was the man.
Yeah.
I think that's a great comparison.
I think a lot of Falcons fans remember, too. He was a thorn in the side of a lot of teams in the division. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what more can you say about this guy? And again, we've got like 6 weeks to go talking about these guys, and I think you've said all there is to say about Jadavian Clowney.
Yeah, he's made his case.
Yeah, the only thing you can really do is just stare with your mouth agape, because that's kind of what I was doing during his pro day.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. So, all right, who we got last for you?
I got Greg Robinson.
Greg Robinson.
All right. You want to fix the run game, as we've said.
Mm-hmm.
You draft Greg Robinson. Sure, maybe not as polished of a pass protector as Jake Matthews, but just from a run blocking perspective, from a ferocity perspective, just a guy that wants to just dominate his opponent. You're gonna get Greg Robinson. Watch some of his college video. You didn't see some of the upfield blocking that Greg Robinson did last season on the Falcons offensive line, or many offensive lines for that matter, in the league. I mean, this guy will come in and be an elite level run blocker from day one. You can run behind him all day long. John Asamoah, mm-hmm. right beside him. That would be a great tandem. Athletically, he's got everything that you want to see out of a guy that you want to hope to transition perhaps to a left tackle someday, or help improve as a pass protector. He's got everything that you want in a guy. If you wanted to mold a guy into an elite level pass blocker and then run blocker as well, Greg Robinson is your prototype.
Yeah, Greg Robinson, I'll say this again. I see tape of him, and he reminds me of Orlando Pace when his run blocking, because Orlando Pace was outrunning running backs at Ohio State. And I remember that being so impressive then. And this is exactly what this guy's doing and does. And I think that Greg Robinson would be Steven Jackson's best friend in that locker
Absolutely.
Room, because that's where the train is going.
Absolutely. Right behind run behind Robinson. And what I would love to see, if Greg Robinson was drafted by the Falcons, I wouldn't be able to wait to see that first screen pass to Julio, that we know that play, and the lineman get out blocking in front of him. Wow.
Yeah. It would be impressive. Be impressive. All right, let's see who I have here. I got the guy I did not want. I got the guy I did not want.
Now you're going to take a guess.
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, okay.
Sammy Watkins. So now I have to make the case on why you do draft him. Well, I think when you talk about this offense and you talk about the pieces that are around this franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan, I think you can never have too many weapons. You've mm-hmm. got Julio Jones coming back from an offseason or a season-ending injury last year. Mm-hmm. Coming back, we know what Julio's capable of. We know Roddy White will be back. Not going to have the ankle issues mm-hmm. that he had hamper him all last year. Harry Douglas is in the fold. You've got Devin Hester coming in. We're not sure what his role actually is going to be in the offense. So for me, you're talking about like a Sammy Watkins kind of guy, could come in, could play that third wide receiver spot, could come in and play fourth, could be just this unstoppable wide receiving force out there. Honestly, this is another one of those kids that I feel like is getting overshadowed by the big three mm-hmm. that I call them, Clowney, Mack, and Robinson. But Sammy Watkins has it all that you're looking for. And you think about Roddy White looking at possibly an extension here. He wants to finish his career as a Falcon, but how many more years does he have when he does leave? And you're looking to lock Julio up for a long period of time. You want to have another player who's going to take the attention off of him. So Sammy Watkins isn't necessarily somebody who fills a need right now, but looking further down the road, he's a guy that you're gonna need to address that at some point. Yeah. And why not do it with one of the best wide receivers we've seen come around in a while? So that's my case for him.
I mean, it's not a bad case. I mean, I think most of us would agree that that's unlikely, but
yes,
but I mean, you read the way and you hear the way people talk and describe Sammy Watkins' game and how it can translate to the NFL, and it sounds like they're talking about, you know, it's 2010 or 2011 all over again. It's Julio Jones and AJ Green.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. We haven't seen a wide receiver coming into the league with, you know, the talent of a guy like Sammy Watkins, and I mean, he's electrifying.
Yeah,
and he's a local guy as well.
He is,
and that's continuity on offense. When that day comes, when Roddy White, you know, his production, you know, decreases or whatever, Sammy Watkins and Julio through, you know, the prime of Matt Ryan's career. That's You could do worse than that.
Exactly. And you know, you talk about how things might shape up there in the top part of the draft. And, you know, if all your top guys are gone, mm-hmm. if your big guys that fill your big needs are gone, and you feel like you're in a BPA situation, a best player available situation, and this guy's on the board, it's going to be hard to argue that he's not the best player available. On most big boards that I've seen among reputable draft experts, he's number two right behind Clowney. Not a bad place to
be. No, absolutely. And we'll wrap this up in just a moment, but I'll throw this at you. Would you, just from a who would you take perspective at number six, Watkins or Ebron?
Man, it's tough. It's a very, very tough question. I think you take Ebron because he fills more of a pressing need.
Okay.
Watkins, when you put the two next to each other, I think Watkins has maybe just a little bit more talent. But again, we need to remember that there's only one ball to go around, okay? Sammy Watkins, Roddy White, and Julio Jones can't all have the ball at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay? So for me, getting a guy like Ebron who is able to block a little bit, he's able to kind of be that outlet, kind of safety valve receiver in the pass game, I think is probably pushes him a little bit more over the edge for me than Watkins would, okay. if we're talking about those two.
Yeah.
But it's a good question.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about offensive weaponry here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the big consensus is trenches. And you know, if we go back all the way to January, Falcons owner Arthur Blank said, we're not going to draft a skill position player in the first round. So, again, to your point, this is extremely unlikely. But things happen. And, you know, maybe you're in a position where your hand is kind of forced to take a guy like him. I don't see it happening, but I had to make a case in the spirit of this game,
right?
Called Make the Case.
Yes,
and so that was my best crack at
it. Okay, not bad.
So
not
bad. I want to see. We'll show you the players that we did not discuss today. Maybe we'll discuss them at another time. Khalil Mack, obviously. Let's see, Anthony Barr.
Yes,
another interesting prospect, and I could tell you who this guy is.
I'm pretty sure I know.
Haha, Clinton Dix.
All right.
So those are your nine that we had going up there, and we made the case. Let us know on Twitter who made the better case. Right?
I don't know.
We both did all right.
Yeah.
But we will. We might have a special guest next week.
That would be awesome.
We'll see. So make sure to tune into the podcast next week as we come at you again here from Flowery Branch.